Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting live from Rumble, from Twitter, from all of our podcast platforms. It is Wednesday, the epicenter of a very, very busy broadcast week. We're broadcasting, obviously, from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. Today, we have an amazing guest on the Shannon Joy Show. I want to go right to Dr. Shankara Chetty out of South Africa, a village doctor who treated 14,000 patients throughout the course of COVID-19, all of them successfully, none, 0% required hospitalization, and has been an advocate for truth, for medical freedom, and for vaccine truth in Africa and South Africa since the beginning of the horrible, horrible COVID-19 lockdowns and the rollout of the vaccines. He is a medical doctor. He is practicing in South Africa. He is a natural science biologist. He has degrees in microbiology, biochemistry, genetics, and advanced biology, and is one of the truth-telling doctors out of Africa. He is now being persecuted, which we will get to in a moment, by the Health Professional Council of South Africa, another medical professional board that is coming after him for the crime of successfully treating so many of his fellow citizens as a small village doctor during the dark days of COVID-19 lockdown and through the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. He has researched every angle of COVID, the lockdown, the nature of the virus, what we're dealing with, and also the destructive nature of the vaccine. And he is here today to give us his expertise and talk about what is happening in Africa as we move towards the World Health Organization treaty as they seek to gain more power, establish more power over pandemics, and essentially the response to pandemics by every major country throughout the world. And it's a very, very dangerous proposition. We're going to talk about all of those things today on the Shannon Joy Show. But first, your story. Dr. Shankara, welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me, Shannon, and the ability to spread some truth.
Well, I'm so sorry that you are dealing with your medical boards in South Africa. It goes to show how similar the atrocities and the attacks and the censorship has been throughout the globe, whether it's Canada, the United States, or South Africa. We have our own persecuted medical doctors here in the States. We have our persecuted medical doctors in Canada as well, and it's no different in South Africa. Let's start first with you. I'd like to devote most of the 40 or so minutes that we have with you today to you, and I'd like to speak last. I have a very big mouth, and I can talk and talk and talk, but I'm going to really try to condition myself to not do that. Because I know the audience wants to hear from you and your perspective, everything what you witnessed during the rollout of the COVID pandemic and then the vaccines, and then fast forward to your persecution. But let's start there. Can you tell us about your COVID experience going back to 2020 and then just kind of walk us forward?
In 2020, late 2019, we heard about this new virus in Wuhan. And of course, with my background, fascinated me, and I needed to know everything about it. And so I knew it was an RNA virus, coronavirus. We knew from Wuhan that it seemed to be very contagious. And of course, we got reports of people getting breathless. It seemed to affect the lungs, and people got breathless. Their saturations dropped, and that's what led to the demises. I found it strange that people were collapsing on the street. I guess you know when you're sick and you tend not to leave home and collapse on the street somewhere. So I found that strange, you know. So it seemed that there was something very sudden, very unpredictable going on. So I knew I wanted to see this. And then the virus moved on to Italy. And I knew from Italy that I'd get a more reliable information. They were talking about ventilations and the saturation suddenly dropping, happy hypoxia, where people had low sats but weren't breathless, those kind of nuances to the clinical picture of the illness. And at that point, they started looking at the development of the PCR test. And of course, that's when the viral genome came out. And when they published that viral genome, I looked at it, compared it to its ancestry, other coronaviruses. And of course, I noticed an insert in it. There was something put into this genome that wasn't supposed to be there. It was not natural. There are mutations that occur, random mutations, and that leads to evolution. Those mutations, if I had to put context to that, Shannon, your DNA is like a chapter in a book that gives you a very specific recipe. And every word in that chapter has some meaning. When that chapter is transcribed to make a new individual or a new cell, your body tries to transcribe it exactly. If there's a mistake, you'll get one alphabet in a word being misspelt. And you do have mechanisms to read through that sentence and correct those mistakes. And if it's just one word that has one alphabet misspelt, it tends not to change the meaning of the sentence. Now, when I looked at this chapter, someone had stuck in a complete sentence, and the complete sentence made sense, which is unusual for a mutation. And the sense of that sentence changed the meaning of the chapter. And so clearly, this was not a random event from nature. So understanding that I'm going to deal with a virus that seems to be lab manipulated, I had to now consider seeing patients. Because if you've got a new virus, you're going to get a unique pathology. That unique pathology is going to lead to disabilities and death. If you understand the underlying pathophysiology, then you'd have the ability to negate those injuries and deaths.
Can I stop you for one moment? So you, right around the time of the PCR test, when you looked at the nature of what they were isolating, right? You saw that it was, you knew from very early on that it was unnatural, that this was
Before the
not
first
some,
case.
yeah. Wow. Okay.
For the first case. And of course, at that time, they were telling doctors to stay home, not see patients, not treat patients, send them to the hospital. And I thought that would be strange. If you're dealing with a novel pathogen and you don't know how it's going to create illness, surely you'd want to see how that illness evolves. Because it's the progression of illness to the point of death that will give us all the information we need to save the lives. I mean, if you don't examine how someone died, how the hell do you expect to save those that are still alive? You know? And so we weren't allowed to do autopsies and that kind of thing. And I thought, well, there's someone here trying to hide an agenda. But of course, understanding that this was a lab-engineered virus, there was the possibility of a lab leak. And so I thought, well, if it's a lab leak, then I'd expect certain things to happen, that they try and curb it, keep it quiet, don't make a big deal about it, don't let anyone know that we messed up, you know. But if you had intent, to fearmonger and get the world into lockstep, then you'd overplay it. You'd overplay the death rate. You'd overplay the cases. You'd change things just to heighten the fear. And so when I saw that happening, I knew there's an agenda. There's
You knew there
definitely an
was
agenda.
an agenda.
Yeah.
Did
So
it frighten you at
I looked.
all? I mean, I'm just, you know, your mindset at that time, was this something that, was this an area that you had been looking at, the medical industrial complex and the creation of vaccines or the creation of, you know, or gain of function research, for example? You know, had you been poking around in that area, or did this just gobsmack you? Like some doc, I mean, there were some medical doctors that were just gobsmacked
Sure.
by this.
Now, look, I think I knew for a long time that the medical industry is being captured by corporates and they're dictating in which direction we go. I was already very controversial on my views on diet and exercise and different things, the way we eat, breakfast. So I knew there's stuff out there that didn't make sense, scientific sense, and scientific sense, not from a medical perspective, from a complete natural science perspective, the entirety of nature and how it's meant to work. Nature has rhythms, cycles. It has rules and regulations that can't be broken. They are written in stone. Try planting in winter and you'll realize. I had this background of knowledge and I thought, I want to see this. I want to try and figure it out. And for me to do that, I have to see patients. I have to physically examine patients and understand the progression of the illness. How did they go from the first day to ventilation? What happened in that time? And so I knew that it's going to be controversial. So I moved out of my home. My home and my practice are in the same premises. So I moved out of my home to protect my family into a little bachelor flat. And I came to work every day and saw COVID and went back to my flat. Kept away from everyone, just made sure it was only COVID that I was exposed to everyone. So I think it was the most dangerous person in my community at
Oh
that
my
time.
word, that's
See
right.
COVID all the time.
Probably had the best
But
immune system though too, man. It was exercising that immune system very well, right? Did
And
I read right that you had a tent, that there was a tent
yes.
erected
Yeah,
outside of the
I thought, look, I trust my knowledge. And of course, sunlight, ventilation is the best sanitizers. And so I thought if I pitch a tent out in my parking lot and triage patients at my gate so that those suspects can stay outside and use the tent and everyone else can go into the practice. So my practice never closed. I was seeing all my regular patients, but triaging the COVID patients and keeping them outside, separated from those that were there for other reasons. I made sure that between the consulting in my practice and outside, I sanitized properly and wasn't going to transmit anything to anyone else. And through the pandemic, I never infected anyone. I never had a patient come to me for a non-COVID illness and picked up COVID from one of us. So I started seeing patients in this tent outside my house while I was living away in isolation. And everyone that came to me had a sore throat, loss of smell and taste, the usual symptoms we were aware of with this virus, but none of them had any chest pathology. No one was coughing, no one was breathless, no one was having difficulty breathing. They just had body aches and pains, like they picked up a little viral inflammation. And of course, I couldn't trust the PCR test. I knew that they were using too high cycles with it. So I needed a more effective way of determining whether the patient had COVID or not. And I wanted to negate all these false positives and the fear that was going around. Part of the fear went away when people realized I'm going to be open for this pandemic and make sure I'm there for them. And so I realized that the one unique symptom was the loss of smell and taste. That usually doesn't occur with the flu. I examined it closer. And what I found that was the loss of taste was to bitter, was to sweet and salty, but bitter seemed to be preserved. That was unusual. So I kept a little container of salt and sugar and lime on my desk, and I tested patients with that. And I think it was more effective in telling me who had COVID than the PCR test. And of course, I live in a community where there is a paucity of finance, and so I couldn't test everyone. And so if one person in the family had COVID, they had loss of smell and taste and the rest, and then everyone, and he had a test and it came out positive. Surely the rest of his family that are ill with the same symptoms have the same illness, and there's no reason for me to go test all of
That's way too common, way too much common sense there, Dr. Chetty.
And
Imagine
then
that, common sense practiced in a medical practice. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
And then yeah, and then I wanted to understand the breathlessness. I wasn't seeing breathlessness in those first 20 patients. And so I educated every patient to say, look, we need information. We need to understand the illness. So if you do get breathless, I need to know on the very same day. Because it seems that the breathlessness spirals out of control very quickly. And so I don't think you're going to wait this out. Make sure I know about your breathlessness the day it happens. And so into the first few a week or two, I got the first five patients that came in breathless, returned breathless. And well, the other of those 20, the other 15 seemed to have recovered and stayed recovered. It was an uneventful illness. And so I looked and thought, well, there's a small percentage of people that are getting breathless. These five that came in breathless presented very unusually in that the day before they came to see me, They were completely fine. They thought they recovered. They thought they recovered. Some of them were jogging, playing squash. They were back to their routines. And suddenly took a turn for the worse. Now, that turn seemed to, when I examined those five patients and looked back at the histories and when they presented to me first, it seemed strange that all of them were presenting back to me exactly a week later, exactly 2 days. So if they came to me on the first day of symptoms, which I had to interrogate to make sure it was the first day of symptoms, because patients sometimes think a cough is the first day, but not the fever that was yesterday. It was the first day. So I interrogated that. And I found that every single patient recovered, but those that worsened exactly to the day a week later. So if you got sick on a Monday, you got better by the Friday, and then suddenly on the next Monday, you got up feeling tired. By lunchtime, you were breathless, and by evening, you needed oxygen. But the day before, you were fine. How come? Now, when you look at the progressive nature of illness, there's only two things that progress in that rapid a fashion. One is a severe allergic reaction to something you're highly allergic to, and the second is an exposure to a venom. And both these need to be addressed aggressively and timely to save the patient. You can't wait it out. So I looked at this and I thought, well, I must be dealing with an allergy because I've got insert into this virus, and we've been affected by coronaviruses for many generations, and we've never had this kind of allergic process. So it's likely this new thing that they slipped into this virus that's triggering an allergic process in some people. It's new to us. And so I looked at it and thought, well, on the eighth day, it looks like we're triggering an allergy. An allergy to whatever's in that insert, or whatever that insert programs us to make.
So this all starts though from your first understanding that you were not dealing with something natural. You were dealing with something created, and that allowed you to identify this eighth day phenomenon and then actively and effectively treat patients. Is that correct?
Sorry, Shannon. I realized that this was an agenda, and there was scientific manipulation behind it. So I wasn't going to find anything in the box. I had to look at it outside the box if I was going to figure this out. So I was outside the box from day one, trying to figure out what's going on around me. And of course, with these five patients that came in, the day before they were perfectly fine. There was this sudden deterioration, and when I examined them, they had none of the symptoms of a pneumonia. Well, first of all, I didn't think it's a pneumonia because it wasn't progressive. It got better and then got worse. It was biphasic. And I had some patients who, in the first few days, were very sick and got better from the virus and never had any reaction to it. And I had some people where they'd have a sore throat for half a day and recover and spend the rest of the week perfectly fine and suddenly on the eighth day nearly die. So there was no correlation between the severity of the first phase and the severity of the second phase. They seemed to be completely non-linear, non-correlated with each other. So I was dealing with a separate illness in that second phase, and it seemed to be an allergic trigger that set the body on this path to a cytokine storm. And once you got into that cytokine storm, everything went bad. You went from
Was
an
there
allergic.
any rhyme or reason to who was allergic? Shape,
No.
size, like,
Yeah, that's something very very pertinent in the pandemic. In the first wave, we found older patients getting COVID, above 50, 55. I think in the first wave, they drew this line through the pandemic and said people over 55 are at risk. Now, when I looked at it, I thought, well, if I'm dealing with an allergy, then everyone should be at risk. I think the only people that would be safe are children with an immature immune system. They wouldn't have a severe reaction, but the rest should be fair game. So why would people over 55 be at risk and not those below 55 in a very neat line at 55, not 54 and not 53 and not 57, 55? Now, when I looked at that, if you look at the way allergy actually works, we're dealing with something completely new. Now, say you're allergic to a bee sting, other people are not. The first time you get stung with a bee, nothing will happen because you don't have the antibodies to react. But when you get stung with that first bee, your body realizes, I'm allergic to this, and it makes IgE antibodies. Now, when you have those IgE antibodies, you are considered sensitized. The next time a bee stings you, you'll react. So the first sting is always No clinical manifestation of it. Right? It's a sensitization sting. Now, putting that into context in that first wave, that means that people over 55 were exposed to something 55 years and longer ago that sensitized them to something. People
Interesting.
born in the last 55 years didn't experience it, and so they were naive. So I explained in my article that people over 55 were dying because they were sensitized. But the first wave of the pandemic would provide sensitization to those below 55.
Right.
And now they would be sensitized. And
Right.
from the second wave, you're going to see younger people die simply because they were now sensitized. I
Right.
even went back 55 years to try and figure out what was it that on a global scale exposed people to something, and it stopped almost dead 55 years ago. And the only thing that I can see, Shannon, is DDT and its liberal use around the world. They
Wow.
sprayed schools, they went crazy with DDT. And exactly 55 years ago, it stopped in 1970 something. They stopped using it. Did
That
that sensitize the world to a new pathogen?
makes you wonder. In the videos of them spraying school children down with straight
Yeah.
up DDT is insane. It's an unbelievable. Fascinating discussion. I love the way that you are walking us through your discovery. And as you are treating patients in a tent outside of your practice, as a
Yep.
village doctor in the dark days of COVID-19 lockdowns, today we're talking to Dr. Shankara Chetty. He is a practicing medical doctor out of South Africa, currently being persecuted by a governing medical board in South Africa for the crime. It's kind of ridiculous. We'll go into that a little bit later, is what they're coming after you for. Very similar than the chicanery that we're seeing here in the United States of America with our friend Dr. Mary Talley Bowden and Dr. Peter McCullough and all of the great docs that are being persecuted. Absolutely crazy. But when we come back, I want to go into, so you have identified this, that this is in fact, a created bioweapon or a created virus. It is not natural. That informed all of your treatment plans for your patients and led to the treatment of 14,000 patients suffering from COVID. None of them requiring hospitalization, no oxygen, no deaths, no need for COVID in injections. People came from all over the world to cons or all over the country to consult with you because you were saving people, and that is now leading to your persecution. So we're going to talk about that, your continued treatment and the rollout of the vaccines and what you discovered. And then a little later in the program, we'll talk about what's happening with you in South Africa and also the movement, the medical freedom movement in Africa as we gear up for the World Health Organization. They are doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down on all the terrible things that they've already done to us. And they want to suck up and seize even more power. We have to stop them. And I think that it's COVID-19 that is bringing so many people from around the world, Japan and Africa, Canada, United States of America, to fight this. And so I'm just so blessed and honored to have you in the Joy Virtual Studio today. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Shankara Chetty. You can find him on Twitter at Shankara Chetty. You can find his website. Everything is listed in the show notes underneath the show today, drshankarachetty.com. And we're also have we have they have set it up a Give Send Go to support his legal battle as well. So you guys can help support him there. We'll tell you all about that in just a moment on the Shannon Joy Show. Hello, friends. Shannon Joy here for Connecta Mobile. In a world where every message could be watched and every move tracked, your privacy is not just a preference, it's a necessity. Introducing the ultimate guardian of your digital life, Connecta Mobile. With Connecta, experience the safety of military-grade encrypted messages, where your conversations are yours and yours alone. No data tracking, no eyes on your information, just pure unbreachable privacy. For total phone security and privacy, check out our new sponsors over at Connecta. Visit www.phone123.com/joy or call them today at 941 941- 246-2156. Guys, this is military grade technology in the palm of your hands. Because privacy isn't a feature, it's your right. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy and take back control with Konecta Mobile. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023.
After a lifetime of hard work and smart investing, the last thing you want to worry about is losing your retirement savings. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals Group. We specialize in helping hardworking Americans like you take back control of their financial future, safeguard their savings. In economic times like these, millions turn to physical precious metals as a form of insurance, while conventional investment choices face challenges or even collapse. If you have a IRA, 401k, or other type of retirement account, my team at Colonial Metals Group would like to help you build a financial protection plan outlining the most secure future for you. We've put together a free protection kit showing how you can start investing in precious metals 100% tax and penalty free to protect and grow your wealth. You can download it for free now by clicking the button below. Customers, we're very proud to say, across the country have been very impressed by my team's in-depth knowledge of financial history and their ability to listen to you. We hold the same conservative values you hold and on ones our great nation was built on, and we can't wait to start helping you and working with you. Again, just click the button below to download our retirement protection kit for free now.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. Today, we're talking to Dr. Shankara Chetty of South Africa. He is the village doctor that treated over 10,000 patients. Every one of them survived. No one needed hospitalization. He is a medical freedom doc representing South Africa and the nations of Africa fighting for medical freedom in 2024. We still haven't gotten a reckoning. We still haven't gotten an acknowledgement. We still haven't gotten justice for what was done to so many hundreds of millions of innocent human beings with the rollout of the bioweapon that was the COVID-19 disease. And then even worse, injecting the mRNA platform, the spike protein directly into human bodies as mitigation. Absolutely tragic. And he is fighting with his fellow medical doctors and scientists in Africa. I want to thank you for your work, Dr. Chetty, and everything you did, the research in the very simple treatment, your observation, looking for patterns, drawing on past experiences, and your knowledge of microbiology, biochemistry, genetics, advanced biology as a medical doctor to figure out how to treat patients and save them when the whole world was going crazy, telling everyone to stay home, wait until you're blue in the face, then go to the hospital. They'll stick you on remdesivir, put you on a ventilator, and then you die. Like, that was the government protocol throughout the world. And yet here you are treating patients and saving patients. You must have been, well, let's go back to your story. Let's continue. So you are into the early days of COVID-19. You've determined that this is not naturally occurring. And so you alter your course of treatment, understanding that you might not be, dealing with something natural. You realize that on the eighth day, this is when the respiratory problems set in and people get very, very sick. And you discern that it is likely from some type of allergic reaction that occurred that potentially could be connected to the mass spraying of DDT 55 years ago, which is an interesting side story here. You know, that is a fascinating correlation that you've drawn. But so here you are. Let's go back to your story and let you tell it in your own words, and I'll shut up because no one wants to hear from me. They want to hear from you. Did I overview that all right, though? So now we're moving into...
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay. Perfect.
So go for it.
Yeah. So I was having these first five patients came back in the second phase. And the second phase of the illness is what I classify as severe COVID.
Okay.
Those are the patients that we say got severely ill. Now, with those five patients, when I examined them, we found the correlation with the eighth day. But clinically, none of them were wheezing. None of them were having difficulty breathing. They could breathe in and out unrestricted, unlike asthma where there's a restriction to flow. Mm-hmm. There was no sounds in their lungs, like crepitations. When you deal with a viral pneumonia, you'd expect to hear crepitations in the lung. There was none of that. Mm-hmm. These patients were just hypoxic. And the one strange thing was that they couldn't take a deep breath. When you asked them to breathe, the breathing was very shallow, but it was not labored in any way. It was fast.
Okay.
Right? But not labored, no restriction. So I looked at that and I thought, well, this is definitely not a pneumonia. There's definitely no restriction to flow, so it's not an asthma. So what could it be? And I looked at it and thought, well, we're dealing with a hypersensitivity pneumonitis affecting the lungs, an allergic reaction in the lung itself.
Wow.
So I put patients on steroids. We knew that it was a steroid-responsive illness early on. So steroids are a dangerous thing. If you give a patient a steroid while they have an infection, it will suppress their immunity and allow the infection to spread. So okay. You shouldn't give a patient with an infection a steroid. But a steroid can suppress an inappropriate immune response.
Okay.
And so from the eighth day, I considered we're having an inappropriate immune response. So I put patients on steroids.
Mm.
And of course, I played around with the dose a little bit just to make sure I'm getting recovery. Those few patients recovered, took 4 days, 4 to 5 days to see their saturations back to the close to 100%. So I knew that my speed to recovery was taking about 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
Then with the understanding that I might be dealing with hypersensitivity and an allergic trigger, one patient that came in, the fifth or sixth patient, she had an 80% saturation. She had come in on day eight, critically ill.
Mm.
And so I put on the steroid. She was diabetic. So I was a bit concerned about using too high a dose of steroid on her. But I thought it should be the ideal case to try an antihistamine.
An antihistamine. Okay.
Yeah. See if I can improve the speed to recovery.
Okay.
And I gave her a kiddie's dose of Phenagan, promethazine, 10 milligrams. I gave her three tablets and I said, you take one now and the other at lunch and the other this evening.
Okay.
And when you give a patient a steroid, and if it works for an allergy, you've got to continue it for a while. If you withdraw it too early, the rash comes back, the allergy resurfaces. So okay. It's almost like putting a lid onto a pot with oil that's on fire.
Okay.
The lid puts the fire off very quickly, but you can't take the lid off while the oil is hot. The fire will start again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to keep antihistamines going, steroids going. So I just gave her this one day. And I phoned her the next day to find out how she's doing. And she was busy washing the dishes. She was perfectly fine.
Oh, my gosh.
So I knew that the antihistamine did wonders.
Okay.
But I explained to her, I said, look, I've only given you a day of antihistamine. And today you might be fine. But tomorrow I expect the breathlessness to come back because you're not on an antihistamine anymore.
Mm.
And the breathlessness came back.
Wow.
She came back to me.
Okay.
She came back to me immediately, put her back on the antihistamines in a full course. And she promptly recovered the very next day.
And she
Amazing.
stayed
for a while, and I withdrew it slowly, but she remained recovered. Now, that is the ideal way to test the efficacy of a drug. I don't see why I should be doing randomized clinical trials. I gave the patient a drug. I saw that it improved. I withdrew it and saw that she worsened. I instituted it again and saw
Right.
that she recovered. What more proof do I need that it works? And with seeing that miraculous recovery, how could I withhold it from the next patient?
Well, sure. Makes a lot of sense, Dr.
Yeah.
Chen.
And so when I realized that it worked, I realized that I clarified my perspective. And so I knew I'm dealing with a hypersensitivity trigger causing a flood of mediators to be released. And if these mediators were not timely and aggressively addressed, it would spiral out of control into a cytokine storm. You needed to catch it early. If you didn't, you were dealing with a critically ill patient. And to reverse these processes is almost impossible once it's gone too far down the line. So on the 14th day when you present to hospital, you are now in multi-system organ failure because you've left too long. The doctor in hospital is trying to save your life, prevent that organ failure. But nobody's told him that on the 8th day you were stung with a bee, and that triggered the entire problem. So he's chasing his tail trying to figure out what happened. And that was the big issue. When a bee stings you, it was almost like a pandemic where the bee stung you, you were allergic, everyone said there's no treatment, and the world spent its time chasing the bee. Make a difference to anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. The
So,
vaccine ties in with that, Shannon. I knew that I'm dealing with something new. And with the second wave, here in South Africa, we had the Beta variant. The Beta variant was a mutation from the original wild type that only influenced the spike protein. Everything else on the virus remained the same. The mutation was only in the domain of spike protein. So I thought, well, if it
Well,
is spike
can you
protein,
explain how that happens though? Like, I'm a little confused about the variants and where they came from and how, like, so this still is not a naturally occurring thing, correct? Like, you have the original unnatural thing,
yeah.
and then you have the emergence of the B2 variant, which is still an unnatural thing, right?
Yeah. If you
It's
started with
just
an unnatural thing, it can't suddenly become natural, but it might
okay,
follow natural process in variants. So it will evolve naturally, or it can be a new release.
So you're saying that the next variant could have been pre like baked into the cookie kind of thing?
Yeah. You can program viruses to mutate in a very definite way.
That's
It doesn't have to be that.
nasty. That is nasty. That is, I mean, if that is the case, that's, I mean, that's diabolical,
Yeah,
right?
and I think there's more to it when you look at the full four variants that came out and what they did and how they affected the human body. It looks like there was an agenda there.
I'll never
This
forget
is the
Delta. I will never forget Delta. Delta
yeah,
was a
Delta was one of the
whole.
worst. We had Beta, which was actually a little worse than Delta in South Africa. It's
But go
considerably
ahead. I'm
worse.
sorry. So
Yeah.
B2 variant.
So when we had the Beta variant, I thought, well, we got this mutation. I need to figure out what debris is causing the allergic reaction. What in this virus? I needed to prove that it was that insert triggering the problem. And so I re-examined patients again. I think it's clinical picture that will draw my attention. And what we found with the Beta variant, you remember we got a change in spike protein, which is the receptor. It binds the virus to its host. Now, if you got a change in spike protein, you'd expect certain things to change. We had a more contagious variant. That means the glue was stickier. We had gastrointestinal symptoms now, so it looked like the glue had a propensity for ACE receptors in the gut suddenly. And of course, when patients turned on the 8th day, it was now a presentation of gastrointestinal symptoms, but I needed a far higher dose of steroid to stop the problem. So that showed clearly that spike protein was the problem, because the problem changed when spike protein changed.
Changed. So the only
Right.
difference was in the spike protein.
Yeah, and that clearly showed me there's the pathogen, spike protein. Right? So I started speaking out and saying that spike protein is the primary pathogen of COVID illness. It's not the virus. The mortality and morbidity of COVID illness was due to an inappropriate immune response to spike protein.
So
So
they
if spike
released, let
protein.
me, like, just layman's term. I'm so sorry. I don't want to interrupt, but people, they get so angry with me when I interrupt, but I only do it because I want to further
Clarify.
understanding. So the virus is released or leaked from Wuhan. Okay. You have the original version of it. We're treating a virus. Everyone's trying to treat a virus. We're thinking we're treating a virus. You know that it was a lab created. This is not naturally occurring. It wasn't until the B2 variant where there was a change only in the spike protein, and then you saw a change in the symptoms that made you realize it is not the virus that's the problem. It is the spike protein that is the problem, and it's an allergic response or some kind of response to this foreign element that is the spike protein in an unnaturally occurring virus, which is
Correct.
crazy. Crazy.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And when I realized it's spike protein, at that point in time, they were planning the vaccine campaign. I understood the mRNA technology they were using. I knew that it wasn't a vaccine, it was gene therapy. It didn't follow the traditional physiology of how a vaccine would trigger an immune response. And of course, they were using spike protein as the base. So the messenger RNA was going to get the host to make spike protein. So I thought, well, if spike protein is the toxin causing all the problems, why would you make a vaccine that gets your body to make spike protein? I foresaw all the problems that I'd seen with COVID worsening with the vaccine. It's another exposure to the same toxin. And so I started speaking out against the vaccine to say this is the wrong way to be doing this science. And as well, as much as you'd be using the wrong protein to trigger an immune response, I didn't see the necessity for an immune response because you can't vaccinate against an allergy. And it's nonsensical. Why are you vaccinating against a virus when it's not killing anyone?
The virus isn't killing anyone. It is the spike protein. But now instead of inhaling the spike protein or it being passed via aerosolizer an airborne virus, you are injecting it into blood vessels and capillaries and
Exactly.
distributing it to every organ
And
system.
you're not sure. And you're not sure how long it's going to make it for. So
And
you
you
don't know how long it's going to take you to clear this.
oh.
Right? And the best you're going to get with that is that those patients that are allergic to spike protein, when you repeatedly vaccinate them, the best you'll do if you don't kill them is to
Ugh.
desensitize them. And if
Okay.
you desensitize them to the allergen, then when they get COVID, they won't get severely ill or die. And that's the beauty of the vaccine. They said it prevents severe illness and death. It prevented the severe illness and death by desensitizing people to the spike protein. And that wouldn't last a very long time and is a very dangerous way to actually solve the problem. So the vaccine was very, very poorly conceived from the start. It had written all over it problems before it even was brought out into the public domain. I did have a friend at the CDC who arranged for me to present my work late 2020. That fell away. They seemed to be very tentative about hearing me. I wondered why. When you find a way to negate the pandemic, why would people not listen to you? Then they contacted me in January to say they want me to present again. But by now, I was talking out against spike protein. And so that fell away.
Oh,
I was
sure,
going
right.
to jeopardize their campaign. And so
Well, because that's the
that
main
fell
ingredient
away.
in their vaccines. I mean, so come on, you can't talk bad about the spike protein.
And then there was a lot of cover-up of information. I felt that the scientific community wasn't really looking at this in scientific terms. The initial article I wrote, Shannon, tried to cover all the science, what we know, what we don't know, how do we use what we know to figure out what we don't know, the treatment of it, the pathophysiology, the treatment, the latitudes in that treatment. My article in the May 2020, it described hydroxychloroquine and doxycycline and ivermectin as possible means of prophylaxis. I discussed all the different treatment that I'd used, antihistamines, montelukast, aspirin, high-dose steroids. I even went into discussing for those critically ill patients how you could nebulize them with adrenaline and have benefits from that. So I covered everything in that article, but there were a few nuances that I think people missed. One of the points in that article was that the Chinese had found a positive PCR rectal swab. That means it was in your poop. And if it was in your poop, then why aren't we considering a fecal-oral route of transmission? That was one question I asked. And if we have a fecal-oral route of transmission, then you can pick it up in a public toilet without anyone else being there, and a mask can solve that problem.
Masks won't, will certainly will not solve that problem.
It asked a lot of questions about why are we narrowing down to an aerosol spread when we're
Right.
dealing with a virus that was found in your stool? And of course, a year later, they found it in sewage.
Yep,
And
they
I couldn't
did.
understand why you found it in sewage and didn't go look at poop. You're looking at sewage and you're looking at variants, but you're not looking at a fecal-oral route of transmission.
Right. Makes sense.
And of course, later on in the pandemic, we found the work of Carlo Brogna, who found that it actually infects your gut.
Yeah.
And people had viral titers in their gut 7 months after they had COVID.
Oh, gosh.
So
Yeah.
we missed a lot, but I think we missed a lot intentionally so that we could direct a narrative in the way they wanted it to be directed. If
Right.
we said it's found in poop, what are they going to do about the masks?
Well, exactly. Right. Then the masks aren't necessary, but they need the masks to have like maximum fear. Maximum fear, maximum control, and that conditioned response to obey the health authorities, no matter how insane or ridiculous their protocols are, right? Wait until you're blue in the face before you come to the doctor. Don't take vitamin D or vitamin C. Don't get into sunlight. Don't exercise. Ice, like all of the worst advice you can ever imagine.
And when I wrote the article, it was about sharing knowledge. It was
Yes.
about sharing understanding, directing research. So it wasn't about acknowledgement and publication and that kind of thing. So I sent it to every single person I could think of who could make a difference, from our Minister of Health in South Africa to our council to every other doctor I knew. I even sent it to my principal in my medical college in India for him to peruse it. And I wanted people to know about this. I got dead silence.
Wow.
The only person that wrote back to me was the principal of my college in India to say, this is the most meticulous piece of science I've seen in my life, and I'll share it with my hospital.
Wow.
I had a group, my group of friends from my final year medical school in India. They have a WhatsApp group. I've not contributed to it in 20 years. I've lived away from it. But someone had died on the group with COVID, and they asked if there's any information. I posted the article there, and we had a robust discussion for the next 3 weeks with 100 specialists interrogating me about what I found. And
Sure.
of course, everything got cleared. India knew how to treat COVID from the start. They came out with a pack called, I can't remember the exact name, but it had doxycycline, ivermectin, zinc in
Yes.
it. And they distributed it widely throughout the country in that first wave.
We reported that, and it was in Africa, correct? That or was it India, where they sent out the packet? It was in India
Yeah,
where they
they sent
sent
out
out
a
the
pack to
packet.
everyone.
Amazing.
Africa remained in a bit in the doldrums because my work was not recognized.
Yeah.
People in South Africa were absolutely quiet about it. In fact, the editor of the Modern Medicine, which is a journal, a peer-reviewed academic journal that I published in, contacted me to say what's going on. This is the most important article, and I'm getting silence, you know.
Well,
But I tried my best to share it. People needed
yeah.
to know. It was
We
the
know
ease
now,
that
Dr.
they
Chetty. We
made.
know now, right? I mean, it
But it's past the point where it would have saved all those lives, and
was. Oh,
that's
it's
quite a
tragic.
bit distressing.
Yeah.
So my principal wrote back to me. There was talk about it in that group. India was there, and so I discussed the pathophysiology. I got silence here in South Africa, and then what happened? I knew that the vaccine campaign is going to cause trouble. I
Yes.
needed to do something, and the only person at that point that was talking out against vaccination, but from a different perspective, was Gert van den Bosch. He was talking about not vaccinating during a pandemic because you're going to drive variants, and he was correct. So I tried to get in touch with him, and the only way to do that was to join LinkedIn.
Okay, so
And
you
I
went to
joined LinkedIn. My
LinkedIn.
wife put me on LinkedIn, and she said, "Post your article there and see if you can get in touch with him."
Yeah.
And of course, I was seeing all the new research, and I was commenting about that research, and my comments seemed nonsensical to everyone. When someone said ivermectin didn't work, published a research paper that it didn't work. My question was, which phase of the illness are you talking about? Because you've got two different phases. And if
Right.
you can't tell me which phase you used ivermectin in, then you're out of context, and I can't believe what you say. So you need
Interesting.
to first recognize a biphasic illness and then decide how you're going to treat each phase. So
Yeah.
I got contacted by a Professor Chris Newton from UK. He's a molecular biologist. He saw my comments on LinkedIn, and he wrote to me to say, I don't understand what you're commenting about, but it all makes a lot of scientific sense, but I can't put this picture together. Where
Yeah.
can I see it work? And I directed him to my research, a paper, and He contacted me back immediately to say, I think the entire research, scientific, and medical world has missed the boat, and the world to hear this. And he
Wow.
got an interview with Philip McMillan, the lead researcher for COVID.
Yes.
And the weekend we had a meeting, interview, and that made it go viral around the world. It
Amazing.
came back to South Africa after a few months, and then people acknowledged.
So you were an international superstar, but no one in South Africa knew who you
We
were
knew
because
about
this
it. And when they
paper had
started
been
hearing about
signed.
this doctor, they
Yeah.
were like, geez, he's from South Africa. But
Amazing. And this was very
that,
early though. This was very, I mean, you were in, Zeb Zelenko terms of early treatment. Like he was one of the first, Pierre Corey was out there, but you were, in your own corner of the world doing this work and brilliantly, supporting the work of so many doctors who were brave enough to follow some of the recommendations that you laid out. What was the name of that paper again? Because we'll include that in the show notes.
The journal's called Modern Medicine.
Okay. Well,
Modern
yeah,
Medicine.
we
And it
know
was a
modern medicine.
publication.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a publication, I think, in August, September 2020.
August, September 2020. That is one of
Correct.
the earliest that I've heard. And Geert Van den Bosch was one that I was using, because I was commenting. I had my show, amidst all of this, and I was desperately looking for voices like yours, anyone with, the scientific and the medical bona fides to support, but I mean, we had dark months where there was, virtually nothing. And Geert Van den Bosch was actually one of the very first that I found. And then obviously your work came out. That's amazing. Unbelievable. When we come back, we're going to go to break really quickly. We're talking to Dr. Shankara Chetty out of South Africa, village doctor who has treated thousands upon thousands of patients, 100% track record, no hospitalizations, no deaths. And he's now being persecuted by health agencies in South Africa. The Health Professional Council of South Africa has charged him with and is now asking you to attend or forcing you to attend a disciplinary inquiry. We're going to get into that when we come back because it's outrageous. We can talk a little bit about the vaccines and your thoughts on vaccines, and then we'll talk a little bit about the World Health Organization. Fascinating discussion. You guys can follow Dr. Chetty at Shankara Chetty on Twitter, and also follow his work, Dr. Dr. ShankaraChetty.com. All of the links and everything will be in the show notes of this show, including his modern medicine paper, and also the Give, Send, Go information to help Dr. Chetty with his legal funds. Again, these medical doctors are heroes. They will be in the history books when we defeat the COVID tyrants and the COVID fascism that has darkened democracies and every country across the world. It's going to be these medical doctors who are going to be remembered, and Dr. Chetty is one of them. Very blessed and honored to have you on the Shannon Joy Show today. We'll be back in a moment to continue this discussion.
I'm a nurse and don't have a lot of time for proper meals. Since taking Field of Greens, I have more energy and a slimmer waist, which I was not expecting, but I'm very happy about.
Being a firefighter demands being healthy. Broken meal plans and settling for fast food aren't a worry since I started taking Field of Greens. I get better sleep, I have more energy, I recover faster, and I definitely have better digestion.
Feel better, stronger, and more physically fit. Get 15% off plus free shipping with discount code TV15 at fieldofgreens.com.
Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. we put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today. Hey everyone, if you are anything like me, you live your life on your phone, working, banking, shopping, connecting with friends and family, but in the digital shadows are rogue apps watching your every move, collecting that data, and in the silence are spies listening to your private conversations. Feeling paranoid? Well, me too. And you're not alone. With Kinecta Mobile, peace of mind is one tap away. Leveraging military-grade encryption, Kinecta shields your data, ensuring your conversations and information stay private. Build a fortress around your digital life starting at just $35 a month. You'll get an encrypted device, data and conversations, no data tracking, and a free secure phone with trade-in. Do not compromise on privacy. Take control with Kinecta. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Now is the time for peace of mind, and you can get it with Kinecta. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. So blessed to welcome Dr. Shankara Chetty on the Shannon Joy Show today. Our brothers and sisters in the great continent of Africa, 47 African nations in 2022, taking down the World Health Organization and the amendments proposed by the Biden administration, increasing their power. This revolution, this resistance is multinational. It is global. And it is an honor for me to meet you and to introduce you to my audience, who I know is going to benefit from your work because you're diligent, you're open-minded, you're thoughtful, you're curious, you observe and you look for patterns and you do all the things a scientist is supposed to do, one that is honest and doesn't have an agenda. And I think what we've been dealing with over the past 3 years are medical doctors and scientists and organizations and institutions that definitely have an agenda, a larger agenda. How long did it take for you to, I mean, we left off with your story. You are identifying the spike protein as the problem, right? Through the treatment of all of your patients. That presents a horrible problem with the vaccine, clearly, because now we're injecting spike protein into people's bodies and it's going to wreak havoc even worse than what happened during COVID, which was a relatively treatable, illness, which was, right. Here you are. Are you beginning at this point? So now we have the rollout of the vaccine, the most disgusting, coercive propaganda I have ever seen in my life. What they did in Australia, what they did in Israel, what they did in New York State, where I reside, firing medical doctors and nurses, military personnel, you name it, coercing people to get this vaccine and lying to them about it. In this process, is it beginning to sink in that there's something like much bigger than just this novel virus that shut down the world? And what are your thoughts about that at that point?
Shannon, I had identified that spike protein is a pathogen.
Yeah.
I had identified that there's an agenda, because people refused to listen to me. Mm-hmm. I was censored, I was sidelined, and so something else is going on. Why would you not listen? So I saw that there's my thoughts at the time, lab leak or intentional. I needed to clarify that. And of course, the response showed more that it was intentional than a lab leak.
Mm-hmm.
Then I needed to figure out what was the intent. Means, did this actually be brought out for good, or was it there to harm?
Mm.
From the agenda, I can understand someone being a bit arrogant and cocky that their intervention is better than everyone else's, and we should all shut our mouths and allow them to do their job. Right. But I needed to figure out whether this was actually good for humanity.
Mm.
Now, understanding that spike protein is toxic brought a different picture. Now, yeah. I'm of the opinion that the virus had a insert in it, which was a weapons-grade munition meant to cause harm. So I understood that spike protein was inserted onto this virus to cause that harm. But was it to cause harm, create fear, and sell a vaccine and make some money? Right? But of course, putting the spike protein into the vaccine, that made me realize that the vaccine is going to be toxic. So all the money in the world is not going to justify that.
Right.
So when I looked at that spike protein on the vaccine, I thought to myself, well, let me watch and see. Is this something that's going to harm the entire world? Hmm. Now, the way I looked at it, Shannon, I know that the vaccine's toxic. There was a point where they were vaccinating old age homes and healthcare workers. Everyone else seemed to be clamoring to try and get it through the back door because nobody else could get a vaccine.
Not me.
Yeah. And so I looked at that and I thought, well, I was watching closely the old age homes and the doctors to see who's going to drop first.
Yeah.
Oh. I knew this is going to be a problem. But then if I look at it, if I have a toxin, I have something in my hand that I know is toxic. That's what I had, spike protein. Mm-hmm. Now, that toxin in my hand is not going to harm anyone. If you decide on your own volition that you want to taste this toxin and get ill from it, I'll probably have to save your life. But it was your choice.
Right.
But the day me, knowing that this is a toxin, forces you to take it. It's called a poisoning and it's a criminal act.
Yes.
So all I did was I sat back and waited to see who's going to force who to take this vaccine. Mm-hmm. And the day the mandates came out, some other part of the world, I knew that it was an agenda to kill.
Yeah, an agenda to kill. And an agenda to depopulate.
Yeah, that changed everything. My case stems from a Zoom. I had done an interview somewhere in the Bahamas and the Caribbean, and it caused a lot of controversy. And of course, they called me back to do another. We invited the public, and they could ask all the questions they wanted. They were happy with that.
Wow.
And a few ministers had overheard that conversation, and they approached me to set up a Caribbean summit on COVID. So I invited early treatment specialists from around the world. We got the World Council for Health involved. And so we set up this Caribbean summit.
Amazing.
On the last day, I was going to basically three or four doctors to summarize what we'd had. And everyone was talking about the nonsensical nature of everything. And I just made a comment to say, if you don't understand the agenda, everything seems nonsensical. But if you understand what they're trying to achieve, then everything makes perfect sense. They got this agenda. And someone asked me, so what's the agenda? And I thought to myself, should I say this? Because this is what I thought was happening. And I knew humanity is not ready for the truth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get me in a lot of trouble to say it. But of course, my conscience got the better of me.
Yeah.
And I had to say it. And so I mentioned that I'm of the opinion that spike protein is the most elaborately well-designed poison man has ever made.
Wow.
And it's meant to kill billions without anyone recognizing they were poisoned because of the time frame in which it will kill, because of the different pathologies and ways in which it will kill. It will exacerbate your pre-existing conditions so that when you die, people will say you already had that.
Mm.
And so I went into in-depth detail about spike protein, its structure, and what we expect to see from the vaccine program. The increase in cancer deaths, the strokes, heart attacks, clots,
yes.
Alzheimer's, dementia, all the things that we're seeing now. And I did it very scientifically. Someone clipped that 11 minutes of the three-day summit and posted it globally. And it went viral around the world. And it's the reason for my prosecution today.
Oh, my word.
I also, in that video, spoke about the vaccine to put it into context for people. I think people were getting mixed messages, deliberately being confused about it. Look, a vaccine should stop infection and stop transmission. And if it does, then it gives the vaccinee a population benefit. Means if you take the vaccine and you don't get infected and transmit it, you're actually protecting me. And that gives it a group benefit. So everyone should take it to protect everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if a vaccine only prevents severe illness and death, then that's an individual benefit. And it's not, you can't transcribe it to the rest of the group.
Right.
If you get prevented by the vaccine from getting severely ill or die, that doesn't help me at all.
Right.
So why do I need to take it to prevent the next person from getting severely ill or die? There's no group benefit to it. So I explained it in that video. I explained it like parachuting.
Yes.
You can jump. If you jump out of a plane, it's your risk, your benefit, everything's yours. But you're telling me I should jump out to protect you.
Yeah. Right. No. Not going to do that.
Now, Yeah, now when I don't want to jump off the plane, you offered me a beer and a donut. That didn't work.
No,
And
I
now you're
know,
planning to
gosh.
push me out the plane with your mandate. And I looked at
Yeah.
it and thought, well, the parachute you gave me looks like it's got too many holes in it. And the place I'm supposed to land down there looks like people died with this jump. And you're hiding all the facts.
Oh
And I
my.
think it brought it home for public. And I think it irritated them to no end that I made it understandable.
I think that's probably Dr. Chetty. What makes you so intolerable for these tyrants at the World Health Organization and in, you know, the medical institutions is that you explain these things quite well and you back it up with science. And so this 11-minute segment of a 3-day summit, and we've had some, I've hosted two summits here in Rochester, New York, with Dr. Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough. So I know exactly the nature of some of these, you know, you have medical doctors and scientists and you know, even you know, government experts together on a panel, and you have discussions and you have robust discourse, and there's a back and forth, and you're positing ideas, and there's no, you know, shuddering of speech, or there shouldn't be any shuddering of speech. But this is what got you into trouble. When was that summit? It was in the Bahamas. When was that? Do you recall?
I think that was in June, July. I think, yeah, July 2021.
Of 2021. And today we're in 2024, which is so interesting that this is still going and that you are now being threatened and persecuted. We're going to go to a break and we're going to talk about that when we come back, your persecution and what they are doing to you. A village doctor in South Africa that has helped so many in so many ways. You've influenced so many of the amazing medical freedom docs who are now treating patients. We have FLCCC and Pierre Corey and his organization. We have the Wellness Company with Dr. Peter McCullough. We have ICANN and the World Council for Health and all of these organizations and medical doctors, a lot of them. I mean, you were very early in bravely treating. I mean, from the very beginning, in a tent outside of your practice. Like, it's unbelievable that you are facing this type of persecution now, and it's not okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about exactly what they are charging you with and where that stands, and then how we can help you. Please follow Dr. Chetty at his handle is at Shankara Chetty, and you can follow his all of his work on his website, drshankarachetty.com. That's Shankara Chetty, Chetty.com, for all of his work. And when we come back, we're going to fill you in on what they're doing to shut his voice and what he's doing to fight back. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show.
Has the dust settled from the COVID policy response? Far from it. The storms are many. Inflation, learning losses, ill health, high crime, broken government services, displaced workers, substance abuse, mass loneliness, discredited science, real estate crisis, censorship, and overweening state power. The world is on fire with war, mass killings, crime, hunger, revolution. The lack of accountability, or even so much as an apology, is a foreshadowing. They'll keep their newfound powers and try it all again. Brownstone Institute is seeking answers, undertaking important research, and publishing the results while providing fellowships for dissident scholars who have been professionally displaced. It's not about this one crisis. We urgently need to restore peace, prosperity, and integrity in science and journalism. Visit brownstone.org for more. We may never get to the truth, but we can get closer to the truth. There will be no stopping the efforts.
After a lifetime of hard work and smart investing, the last thing you want to worry about is losing your retirement savings. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals Group. We specialize in helping hardworking Americans like you take back control of their financial future, safeguard their savings. In economic times like these, millions turn to physical precious metals as a form of insurance, while conventional investment choices face challenges or even collapse. If you have an IRA, 401k, or other type of retirement account, my team at Colonial Metals Group would like to help you build a financial protection plan outlining the most secure future for you. we've put together a free protection kit showing how you can start investing in precious metals 100% tax and penalty free to protect and grow your wealth. You can download it for free now by clicking the button below. Customers, we're very proud to say, across the country have been very impressed by my team's in-depth knowledge of financial history and their ability to listen to you. We hold the same conservative values you hold and on ones our great nation was built on, and we can't wait to start helping you and working with you. Again, just click the button below to download our retirement protection kit for free now.
Doctors are like you, too much fast food, not enough exercise. And we don't have time for 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. That's why I take Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable supports my heart, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism for energy and weight loss. And at your next checkup, Field of Greens promises your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back.
Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show. Today, joined by an amazing, amazing hero, Dr. Shankara Chetty. You can follow him at drshankarachetty.com. And if you are wondering how effective this rural South African doctor has been over the past 3.5 years treating COVID, you just have to start with everything that he has done. He has trained thousands of doctors. He has done work in Malaysia, North India, unbelievable stories that I definitely want to talk about before we get into your case. Even simply the severity of the cases, many might mistakenly think that since you were treating in your village that you weren't really seeing very severe cases of COVID-19 in those early, early days in the spring of 2020, in the summer of 2020, but you did. I mean, your work has touched, I mean, quite frankly, hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions of people, and the doctors that you've trained and the work that you've done. But just talk about some of those cases in those early days that would never have survived if it weren't for your treatment.
Shannon, I'm 40 Ks away from the nearest hospital. I live and work in the same premises. When a patient drives 500 kilometers to my gate and has a 50% saturation, I've got nowhere to hide.
Wow.
And I have to treat them. So I've seen some pretty severe cases of COVID, but every single one of them, I got them out of the woods within a day or two. Mm. Every single one of them within a week to 10 days was completely recovered. If I just put some clarity to that, my worst patient was a 92-year-old lady who was brought in barely conscious on a wheelchair with a saturation of 44%. Oh. They refused to take her to a hospital. I treated her. It was a Tuesday. She lives 600 Ks away and they were here on holiday, close to my practice. I treated her on a Tuesday. I sent them home and I said, they cannot travel. She has to show good signs of improvement. And if she worsens, please take her to hospital, because this was one patient I was critically ill and very cautious with.
Yes.
She phoned my practice on the Saturday. I've treated her on Tuesday. She phoned my practice that Saturday to speak to me. Well, there's a different story about the spirituality around COVID. That.
Oh, but, you can tell me. You can tell it.
No, she had a vision about me, my work. I'm going to go on the hardest journey of my life and the world's going to be against me. And it all happened to be true 6 months later. She phoned me on the Saturday to say she's completely recovered and they're leaving home tomorrow. Now, if I could take a 92-year-old woman with a 44% saturation and within a period of 4 or 5 days have her completely recovered, ready to travel, what was the big deal? I've got patients where, when you talk interleukin-6 values, blood values, a value over 85 is considered to be critically ill and a consideration for ventilation. I've got patients who came to me in the second phase, and when I did their bloods, the interleukin was 500.
Oh, my word.
I sent them home, treated them, called them back 2 or 3 days later to repeat the bloods, and again 2 or 3 days later to watch a trend. And I can show you values where a patient came in with a 400 interleukin-6, and in 7 days it was back down to normal with home treatment.
Wow, home treatment.
And
unbelievable.
With home treatment. So people want me to analyze 14,000 cases. I just don't have the time. So I took the 20 most important cases that I had serial blood results for to show that these patients improved. And I'll show the world that. Show me a patient in ICU with the 500 interleukin 6 that survived it.
Mm. Wow. That's why they're persecuting you.
When it comes to intense, the treatment and its efficacy, I don't think there's any questions. Then I've trained doctors around the world. I was invited to Malaysia. Mm. I've trained initially 250 doctors, and then after that, another 250, and then it became a WhatsApp group to mentor. Oh. I was invited by the government of Meghalaya to teach them how to negate COVID. Yeah. The first meeting was in June that year, May that year, and I trained all the specialists in the country, ICU staff, the intensivists, physicians, obs and gynae. And they called me back a month and a half later almost to say that using my protocol in the ICU, they've negated three out of four ventilations. And of course, the ICU specialist, the biggest ICU in the country, his grandmom came in at 72 years of age with a 70% saturation on day 13, I think it was.
Oh, my God.
They didn't ventilate her. They stuck her in the ward, put on my treatment. And when we had that second meeting to train doctors, he narrated that it's her fifth day in hospital. She's saturating at 100%. They're waiting for her blood results. And if everything looks like it's fine, they're going to send her home. Oh, and that's when they, as a government, thought that if this worked so well in hospital, they need to train their rural doctors, because nobody needed to come to hospital in the first place if they could get early treatment. So I trained the rural doctors. By August that year, they had a death rate count of about 300 for that month. The month before was 250. So the Delta wave was on its upward tangent. And after I trained the doctors, the following month, we got the death rate down to 8.
Oh, my word.
And it's remained that low ever since. They've actually stopped counting monthly death rates and started grouping it in every 3 months because there's too few deaths to count. So with that kind of success, it makes it all the more nonsensical that I'm being prosecuted.
Well, if you understand, to your point in the last segment, what we're up against and what their agenda is, it actually makes perfect sense that they are coming after you because you are so effective. You have trained so many, and you are able to articulate the science in such a way that lay people can understand it. But it's also backed up with just the rock solid scientific data and information. And I think that makes you a very, very unique threat to the entire narrative of COVID and COVID-19 and even the vaccines. And so you're right, you know, here you are saving, I mean 14,000 just in your own village, you know, in your own region. But when you think about all of the medical doctors that you have trained, I mean, you can't even imagine how many people you have been responsible in saving. And here they are now, based on a 2021 11-minute statement at a World Council for Health conference. They are now in South Africa persecuting you. Can you give us an idea of what they're charging you with and what is at stake for you, what they can do to you should they come back and succeed in their efforts to take you out? Because this is insane. This cannot stand. So what's going on there?
Look, the charges were brought by a Professor Fenter, who is part of one of the biggest medical schools in our country. He was involved in the Together trial with ivermectin, the one where Andrew Hill changed the outcome at the last minute.
Oh.
He was part of SAHPRA, the South African regulator, to test the safety and efficacy of the vaccines. He also is part of the government advisory committee on where we go with COVID. And so he chose to lay a complaint with the council that my work is misinformation. The vaccine that I'm talking about is all misinformation, that my pathophysiology understanding, in doing that, I'm making implausible and outlandish pathophysiologic claims about what exactly happened with COVID, and that I'm using treatment that's not sanctioned, that I'm using treatment that's off-label was not authorized. The way I see it, Shannon, I mentioned it's a bioweapon, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
If you can show me a different effect from this vaccine, a beneficial effect, then maybe I'll change my mind. But for now, I only see harm. And so I classify it as a weapon if it only causes harm. Mm. So from that perspective, I have to defend that, defend the pathophysiology that I brought to the pandemic and explain why I chose the treatment I did. Now, if you look at the treatment that I used, they keep talking about it being off-label. The problem is that they put the wrong label on the pandemic in the first place. They called it a viral pneumonia. And so if you used their label, you'd be treating using the wrong treatment because the label was wrong in the first place.
Right, right.
So I'm not using off-label medication. I labeled it as a hypersensitivity pneumonitis and I treated it as such.
Mm-hmm.
So my medication was on label for my diagnosis.
Yes.
Not what anyone else told me what they think is wrong.
Right.
And of course, the regulators giving out their recommendations and suggestions about the use or non-use of certain medications, they should know their place and they should know that it's recommendations. I don't see why I should be charged for not following a recommendation.
Exactly.
And if you wanted it to be any more than a recommendation, then you should have wrote it on a script pad with your name on it and taken responsibility for prescribing it. My script pad, the last time I looked, has my name on it, and I'll decide what to write on it. And so on. Nobody else is going to come tell me what I should give you when I'm treating you.
That's right.
And so these are the charges brought against me. Remember that the video I made very clear, I'm of the opinion that this is what's happened. In the video itself, there was no doctor-patient relationship. There was no treatment being prescribed to anyone. So my question to the charges, first of all, is it within the Health Professions Council's jurisdiction to try and limit my constitutionally protected and guaranteed freedom of speech and expression?
Right.
And so that was the first question we put to the court to say, do you all have the jurisdiction here? Secondly, the charges brought against me cover everything about COVID. But unfortunately, their legal team, the Health Professions Council, didn't match the charges, regulations, and complaint. And so I could have had this thrown out of court on the first day. But I gave the attorney a chance to go back and redo his charges and come back for a fight.
You're like, bring it. Come on.
And if they can't find something to charge me with, I'll give them something to charge.
You're feisty. See, that's why they don't like you too, is that you're like, you don't back down. I like it.
They must bring it on.
Yeah.
So we argued that. Unfortunately, where we are now, the Health Professions Council went back, within a day brought back a new charge sheet. The new charge sheet should have been aligned to the original complaint and the initial preliminary committee recommendations. The new charge sheet doesn't touch on any of that. It's a completely new charge. It makes no mention of the video. It starts talking about the entirety of 2021. So it looks like they've broadened the net. They can bring it on. Everything proved to be true. So you're giving me a better opportunity to highlight the truth, the more charges you bring. So bring it on. And so they brought this new charge sheet, and I think the new charge sheet shows prejudice by the council that they actually saw it fit to go back and recharge me on the same crime.
Right.
That's not allowed by law. And if I can show prejudice, then I want to escalate the profile of this case to a high court.
Mm.
If I have it seen in a high court, then all my witness testimonies become court record, and all the biases that I wish to address before we move forward will become precedent for cases moving forward. Part of the biases, I'm asking them to look into the conflicts of interest in all the people testifying against me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the first. They say I didn't do what's best for the public. So according to them, the public's a victim in my case, so they should have access to the proceedings.
Right. And the victims, by the way.
The victims. You say that. So, well, let them watch. And of course, I think the biggest thing, if we look at the pandemic vaccine rollout, the vaccine was rolled out with a lot of prejudice and propaganda. The prejudice was institutionalized, corporatized, legitimized. It was something where you couldn't fly, you couldn't go out, your freedoms were curbed. People said you're an anti-vaxxer if you didn't take it. People said you're going to kill your family. Children were fear-mongered that if they didn't take it, they were going to kill their grandparents. So we cannot ignore the prejudice that was deliberately instigated based on a vaccine status.
Right.
And if I go into a case where I'm unaware of the vaccine status of the jury, there's going to be bias. I want half the jury on that panel vaccinated and half unvaccinated, and then we'll move ahead. If it's the pro-vaccine lobby that instituted this kind of prejudice and bias, that mandated it, that enforced it, and now stands judgment over me.
That's not okay. Not okay. Dr. Chetty, is this this, you know, these charges that are being brought against you, are these civil? Is it about your license? Is it within, like, what courts is this being adjudicated?
And then it's a hearing from the council itself. So it is the Health Professions Council charging me for unprofessional conduct.
Okay.
And that puts my licensure
at risk.
But saying that, I actually don't care about that.
Mm.
If this is a body that's willing to forego for the first do no harm principles and have vested interests in people who don't care about such things, then I wish not to be a part of it. A part of the charges brought against me, or the threat of suspension, was there to silence me.
Yeah.
If a suspension is going to silence me, then it needs to include a rope and a tall tree. Otherwise, it won't work. And of course, if they choose to suspend me after I present all the facts, then I would gladly deregister and wish not to be a doctor.
Mm.
I could be a free canary and sing like a free canary. So it's up to them. Do they want this wild dog on the leash or off the leash? But either way, he's going to buck and bite. And so you bring it on.
sing like a free canary, Dr. Chetty. I love it. Or a wild dog. Either one. I'll take them both, man. Because, like, knowing that you are on the side of truth and you are on the side of your patients and humanity and human lives is just so refreshing and wonderful. And, you know, it's scary what you're going up against, for sure, but that you are displaying such courage and really just steadfast. I mean, you are standing steadfast in the truth that you witnessed, that you observed, and that you were trained for as a medical doctor. And I just think it's pretty amazing. Where are you in the course of all of this? What is the next step? And how can people support you?
Shannon, the case itself, I see it as the greatest opportunity we have to speak truth.
Okay.
To highlight what has happened. And so the worst thing that could happen to me is the charges get dropped. I don't want to win on a technicality.
Good for you.
This is something that people need to understand, and people need to see what the truth was.
Okay.
So I've got a great team of experts, people that I've worked with throughout the pandemic. Dr. David Martin is going to talk to the intent.
Amazing.
Peter McCullough is going to talk to the vaccine injuries and my treatment strategy. I taught him to treat COVID, and he appreciates that. So he's going to be on that.
Dr. Peter McCullough is a great friend of the Shannon Joy Show. So he is on. Okay. I mean, we've had him in Rochester. He did one of our summits. He's a dear, dear, dear friend. And
he was one of the first doctors to acknowledge my work.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know. See, how do I not know these things? I can't even believe it. I mean, I knew I liked you from the beginning.
Yeah. So he's doing the treatment and the vaccine injuries to show lack of safety. I have your next guest, Dr. Herman Yedlin. Herman is fighting a FASA case here in South Africa. He's going to testify about the lack of effectiveness of the vaccine.
Amazing.
And then I've got Professor Peter Parry.
Okay.
He wrote the spikeopathy paper in Australia, saying that spike protein is a pathogen, both in acute long COVID and the vaccine.
Okay.
So between those four, I covered the vaccine completely, that it was unsafe, ineffective, had a bad intention behind it, and was toxic.
Wow.
So tell me how I can't see that as a bioweapon. And then from my treatment perspective, the pathophysiology that I've elucidated, I've got Professor Chris Newton, the guy that found me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
He's going to testify he's done a lot of research around my work, and he's going to testify to the science.
Okay.
I've got Dr. Vijay from Malaysia.
Amazing.
He's going to testify to the education and mentorship I provided his country and the difference it made. And then I've got Prof. Efthirios from Rio Grande, Texas.
Okay.
He's analyzed the data sets, those 20 cases I told you about that were high values of interleukin-6, the antihistamine case where I did a little trial on a single patient, and of course, the first 200 patients I talked about in my initial publication. He's going to present the data. and the significance of my data. What he showed is that if South Africa had followed at that time my treatment intervention, we could have decreased the hospitalizations and death in South Africa by over 25 times.
Oh, my word.
And well, that's the ship that sailed. But yeah, I think they need to know what truly happened. And so, yeah, I've got this great team of people that all worked with me through the pandemic. I trust them with my lives, with my life, and all of them. I think they're my guardian angels. And so, yeah, we're going to get a chance to speak, and nothing's going to stop us from doing that.
That is amazing. And you do. You have an amazing team around you. And now you have the Shannon Joy Show audience around you as well. And we are going to publicize this and get it out to as many people as we possibly can. This is going to be a must-watch testimony. And I just want to thank you for everything that you've done. I mean, I could probably talk to you for another hour. We haven't even really gotten into the vaccines and how they're presenting just the variety of terrible, not only adverse reactions, but also the suppressed immune system, something that Geert Vandenbosch has been writing about that I'm a little concerned about. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on maybe in another show, but we've run out of time today. But thank you so much. This has been such an interesting conversation. And I'm just so heartened that we have medical freedom fighters, basically freedom fighters. I mean, the medical freedom community is the freedom movement. It's the liberty movement of the 21st century. I'm completely convinced. We have been able to realize it because of the medical tyranny that has been inflicted upon us. But once they get in between the doctor and the patients, once they are able to strap us down, shove the needle in our arm, regardless of whether or not we want it, all human freedom is over. Nothing else matters. Free speech, freedom of the press, freedom, you know, right to bear arms, all of those things fall by the wayside, because if the governments can seize our bodies and force us to undergo medical interventions against our will, it's over. And the 21st century will be shrouded in darkness. And so you are on the front lines. I want to thank you for everything that you are doing. We will talk about World Health Organization maybe tomorrow with Dr. Edling. We can do that because we have another member of the African Freedom Fighting contingent, which I just love. But any last words that you want to say, anything else you want to get off your chest, and how can people help you and support you, because we are 100% behind you?
I think there's a huge agenda going on, Shannon. This is not only COVID.
Yeah,
COVID was brought in to use the medical fraternity because we got this control.
Right.
We got the regulation. We got the ability to give you stuff that could kill you. And so they use the medical fraternity to start this process.
Yeah,
it covers education, economics, everything, even the spiritual side of things. And I think that's the big agenda. And people need to realize that, start reading, start understanding what's happening to us as humanity as a whole. They used fear, coercion, manipulation, division to cause what they did. And the only way that we're going to fix the problem is through hope and faith.
Yeah.
And it's our faith that was dented that suddenly made the vaccine our new savior.
Mm.
And it was blasphemy to talk against it.
Right.
Because it was our new savior. And we lost hope. And of course, when people are confused, don't understand, then they look to the experts to guide them. And the experts were there to silence everyone and take that stage and mislead everyone. And so, yeah, I think it was a great awakening for people.
Yeah.
And the solution to the problem would come in unity, in hope and in faith. This is not about COVID. This is more about the darkest hours of humanity that are upon us. And I think we need a good spiritual reawakening to find Noah's Ark.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, to find our Noah's Ark. And I
didn't
share...
stop the flood, mind you.
What was that?
It did not stop the flood, mind you.
Did not stop. No, it's true. I know. It's absolutely tragic. Absolutely tragic. And one of the greatest tragedies here in the States was the closure of churches and synagogues. And I mean, so many faith-based organizations just fell right into it. And I was like screaming. I'm like, why? No, like Jesus healed the sick.
Anywhere that, right. Anywhere that brought faith and hope needed to be closed.
Right. Very, very terrible. Very dark. I am so thankful for your leadership and for your voice. And we will be watching everything that you're doing. When this testimony is scheduled and set up, let us know and we'll try to blast it out as much as we possibly can. Our good friend, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, is being persecuted by the Texas Medical Board right now. She goes before them, I believe, at the end of April. And we're looking to try to broadcast that if we can. If I can tap in to the feed, it is going to be live, I believe. And so we'll try to do that for you as well if I can figure it out. I'm self-produced, so I'm not very good at this. But if I can figure it out, we'll do it because we want to blast this out to everyone humanly possible. Guys, his name is Dr. Shankara Chetty. You can find him on Twitter. His handle is at Shankara Chetty, and his website is drshankarachetty.com. That's S-H-A-N-K-A-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-Y. And of course, we have all of the information for the Give, Send, Go. So you can support his efforts in the show notes underneath the broadcast of this on Rumble, also on all the podcast platforms as well. Dr. Chetty, thank you so, so much. You are a hero.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Shannon.
And thank all of you for being with us today on the Shannon Joy Show. Thank you to our sponsors, Colonial Metals Group, Connect-A-Mobile, and of course, our friends over at fieldofgreens.com. And Kitty says hello too. There he is. Every so often, he makes a debut. Okay, the audience is going to love this. He doesn't usually come by. All right. Yeah, we love Buddy the Studio Kitty. Came to join us. And thank you to all of you who sponsor the show or who support the Shannon Joy Show at our website, theshannonjoy.com. You can set up your monthly contribution. We are independent, completely self-produced, and that's why we can tell you the truth on a regular basis. So thank you to all of you. We will be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connect-A-Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connect-A-Mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connect-A is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connect-A-Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connect-A.